This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
I was going to be speaking, starting a new series on Galatians, but much to the consternation of those who like to plan ahead, I'm not doing that. I want to reflect a bit on what we've learned from looking at the stories about Queen Elizabeth on John chapter 10. As I said last week, I think reading the Bible is a really good thing. I would encourage you to do it every day. If you don't possess a Bible, take one of those blue ones in the pews or ask the welcome team. In fact, there's these little booklets which are just John's Gospel, which are great to read if you don't want to carry the whole book around with you, or if you want to give this to somebody. Or you may be on an app. I use Just Version. There's lots of others around. Or the Bible Gateway website is a good one. So why don't you find John chapter 10? John is one of the four biographies written about Jesus. And we've been thinking a lot about John this year, in particular this chapter, in fact. And I just want to pick up on a couple of things in it in the time we have. My text for the day is, I lay down my life. John 10, verse 7. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. This is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the amazing rabbi, a young man who just took the world by storm. And he's speaking these words, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life. And have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. And then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand, cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. This is God's word to us. It's absolutely true, and it's given to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. So this year we've been looking at this subject of life, and it's been based significantly on John 10:10, verse 10, where he says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Old translations would say abundant life. This gift of life we've talked about all year, these 4,000 weeks that we're given, plus eternity. What do you want to do with this life you've been given? You said that it starts with being known. That's the beginning of life. That's where it all starts, that we are known first and foremost. That's where identity starts. And it's sustained because we are loved and we know that we are loved. And the whole context for it is that we are expected in an eternal paradise with our Creator. And last week we looked at James, where he asked the question, what is your life? Looking at those 4,000 weeks, that gift of life plus the eternal life to follow. What is your life? This week I'm quoting what Jesus is saying, I lay down my life. That life that we look inside and think, this is me, this is who I am, these are my 4,000 weeks. I lay this down. In a way, the message we've been preaching is an easy message, easy to take on in our current culture, the promise of new life, abundant life. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Living your best life. Let's live our lives. Let's go and jump off high things and swim with dolphins and live our lives. But there's another side to this promise we've just read in John 10, where Jesus says, I give you this life and I'm laying down my life for you. There's the giving of life and there's the laying down of life. And I think it's interesting, one of the commentators I heard was picking up on this in Queen's life, was that she lived this, she talked about sacrifice and service, this giving of life. Was something that came naturally to her as a result of her faith, but also somewhat of the culture. It was a service-oriented culture during the war and after that. And we live much more in a, less in a give-your-life culture and more in a live-your-life culture now. And Jesus promised us life, but he also gave us a command about giving life. So the Queen made this deal with the British people, with the Commonwealth, with the realms, as King Charles likes to say. And this deal that she made was inspired by and mirrored the deal that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Queens, made with all peoples. Jesus said, I lay down my life. And he did it. And the Queen said, I lay down my life. And she did it. You'll know it off by heart. It's been quoted all the time, what she said on her 21st birthday. My whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service. Took on a very different form, of course. She had the trappings of high office and the comforts and the luxuries that went with that. But I'm not sure many of us would choose that life, actually. The loss of privacy, the difficult decisions, the focus, the fact that you don't retire. For her, Jesus' life was a very different life, those few years he lived with us. But for her, this declaration, this deal she did, was discipleship. This was her discipleship. She was following Jesus in doing this. She said to the General Synod in 2010, the Church of England's General Synod, at the heart of our faith stands not a preoccupation with our own welfare and comfort, but the concepts of service and of sacrifice, as shown in the life and teachings of the one who made himself nothing, taking the very form of a servant. She's quoting directly from Philippians 2. Her inspiration was Jesus. In Philippians 2, Paul writes this about Jesus. He says he didn't consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. He said, rather, he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. By taking the very nature of a servant, God taking the nature of a servant. Jesus could have claimed equality with God and stayed there, but he came to us, taking the nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And that is what the Queen was inspired by, and that's how she chose to live her life. She gave us an example of what it means to follow Jesus. This is the paradox at the heart of Christian discipleship. We are given life because Jesus gave up his life. That's how we get life. That's how we are rescued. That's how we are restored to our relationship with our Creator. That's how life bursts into color and meaning and fulfillment and promise. Because he gave his life. And yet we are to lay down that life. in order to take it up for eternity. It's the paradox right at the center of our faith. We are given life and we are to lay it down. And that's what Jesus did. He had life, he laid it down for us so that we may have life. In Luke 9, Jesus says this: whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me will save it. So what does this look like? I mean, the Queen is an amazing expression of this. What does it look like for us? We can get some clues from the Queen. So think back, those of you, if you watch BBC, this is all you've had for the last 3 or 4 days. Other channels are available. What have you read and heard that tells you what the Queen was like? Just shout out. What was she like? What was her character? Sorry? Humble. Dignified. Kind. Sense of humor. Committed. Generous. Connected. Influential. By the way, I'm repeating this for the online people. Say that again. Intelligence. Obedient. Other-centered. Wise. Brave. Resilient. Faithful. Trustworthy. Isn't that a great character description? Wouldn't you like that on yours? Wouldn't you like people to say that about you? Do you think that's what people said about Jesus? So the people are responding to these, they may not know this, but they're responding to the Christ-like character in her life. The way she laid down her life to fulfill her calling to serve the people. And she did it in such an exemplary way. Remarkable. Because I believe that she followed Jesus. I believe that maybe before, but certainly at the coronation, the Holy Spirit fell on her. And Scripture talks about how the Spirit within us works within us for good. And I believe the Holy Spirit was working in her these characteristics, just as he wants to work in you and me. It's very compelling, isn't it, when you see a very powerful but a very humble life laid down in pursuit of Jesus. Isn't it compelling? And I so want to be that way. I so want people to look at me and think, there's a humble person who's allowing the characteristics of Christ to come through him. I've got a long, long way to go, but that's what I want. That's when I lay down my life, that's what I'm hoping, that's what I'm praying for, that's what I'm hoping the Holy Spirit will work in me. Have you laid down your life? I've been telling you all year that you've been given this amazing life. Have you laid it down? I know we want to live it abundantly. Have you given it? It's decision time. I'm going to pray. If you've never given your life to Jesus before, given your life to others, if you've never laid your life down, pray with me. And if you have and you need a refresher, pray with me. Lord, I thank you for the life you have given me. There's good things in it, and there's tough things in it. There's things I'm ashamed of, and there's things I like. None of that matters at the moment. I acknowledge that it comes from you. And I choose to follow you and lay it down before you. In that moment, for some of you, that constitutes a life decision, and something needs to change. I just felt, as I was praying that, for some people, if I'm going to lay my life down, I've got to do this differently. If that's you, I'd encourage you to talk to your small group leader or respond when it's time to pray together. Let me say something else about this laying our lives down. I think the laying your life down, the giving of your life, is both a horizontal thing to one another, and we see that in the life of the Queen, and we've reflected on that, but it's also a vertical thing of giving to God, of course, and laying our lives down, giving, saying to him, this life, for what it's worth, Lord, thank you for it. I'm giving it back to you. What do you want me to do with it? I'm in your hands. And he will send us out to serve one another. The thing is, you can't do this on your own. This is not a solo sport. The church community is so important for this. The disciple needs other disciples. We can't do this on our own. If you've tried, you'll know exactly what I mean. We have this, we're launching small groups at the moment. I'm sure many of you are aware of them. Get stuck into one or more. This is where it's what we call to know and be known. As we seek to grapple with this giving of our lives, to know other people who are doing the same thing, and beginning to learn to trust each other and work with each other and help each other lay down our lives. It's so that when you kneel down to serve, you find that you're kneeling next to brothers and sisters. And you also find that you're kneeling next to the King of Kings who kneels to serve. So if I sort of asked your friends and family to do what I just did about the Queen, what would they say? That might be a bit... You might not. I'm not sure I'd want you to know. But what is your character? What's forming in you in this life? Look, God, it's not magic. It's some of it's very mundane. It's day-to-day decisions. It's one step after another. It's one choice after another. It's, shall I spend my money on that or shall I do that? It's, shall I give my time to this or shall I give my time to that? It's, am I going to pursue this career or am I going to go down this route? Am I going to invest in this relationship or am I going to do this? It's little decisions, choice after choice, one foot in front of the other. As the Holy Spirit works through us and we allow him to help us make those decisions, we build that character, we build that discipleship, we build that the promise of life that we've been given. And if you're anything like me, there's lots of things that the enemy would love me to use my time, money and energy for that are not going to grow me a character like Jesus. And I have to make some decisions all along the way. Let me wrap up. Jesus was the Queen's inspiration to lay down her life. It was his healing, forgiving, merciful presence in her life, I believe, that enabled her to make difficult, difficult choices and to live her life well, to give her life generously. She lived it well, she gave it generously, she laid down her life in many ways. Her life is an inspiration for us. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you about your life, your 4,000 weeks plus eternity? We're not being watched by global millions. Imagine that. We're not being watched by that. Fewer people, we're less visible. Primarily, we have an audience of one. But this life, even though no one's watching my life in their thousands, it's precious enough. Your life is precious enough for Jesus to give up his life so that you could have life. That's how precious you are. It's precious enough for us to want to demonstrate him through our lives. So let's receive the promise, brothers and sisters, of abundant life that Jesus makes. And let's watch his example, which let's be inspired by him and by the Queen, of course, and let's be challenged not just to live our lives, but to give our lives. I lay down my life. Let's pray. I know we're not Anglicans, but I think what I want to pray, I want to encourage you to respond, actually, not by coming to the front this time, but by kneeling, if you're able, kneeling where you are. It's a sort of, there's been a lot of kneeling and bowing this week, but there's something significant about kneeling, the sort of, the way it hurts our knees, and the way it's not an orthodox position to be in, and it's sort of, it's a physical demonstration of humility, which is one of the characteristics. And I just want us to come on our knees and offer our lives, even though I've already prayed that out. So you don't have to do this, of course, but I just invite you to kneel with me as I pray about laying my life down. And if you're at home, please join with us. Get off your couch. No one's watching. Lord, we acknowledge you as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who created all, the sovereign over all of us, the sovereign over all the sovereigns, the one who hovers above the uncreated world, creating. And we kneel before you. We want to acknowledge that you are our King, our liege, our Lord. And we want to serve you and give our lives to you and become more like the people, the person we were called to be. Grow in us the character of Jesus. Help us to make good decisions one by one. We surrender our lives to you. Amen. Do get up if you can. Anybody want to? Gosh, it's a long way down when you're 63. Why don't you stand? We're just going to spend a few moments waiting on the Holy Spirit to come and to minister to us. So just if you don't know, our habit is to just ask the Holy Spirit to come and to bless us with his presence. And sometimes he releases, he gives us gifts, he gives us words of knowledge or prophecy or whatever. So if you've got those of you who are familiar with this, if you've got a word of knowledge or a prophecy you want to speak out, something specific, maybe about a sickness or an illness or a specific situation that we can pray into, then this is a good opportunity to shout out. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. Will you come and bless us with your presence?